My guests this morning are Bonnie Edwards and Bruce White, and we'll be talking about the Tout Bird Club. Good morning, you all.
Good morning.
I'll explain to people that this was supposed to be last week's show, but Bonnie spent all day digging out of the 17-plus inches. That's the official.
Right.
No, and you ended up with about 60 in places.
Yes.
So that's good. So how are you guys this morning?
Doing well, thanks.
Good.
Very good. How did she rope you into this, Bruce?
When we were moving up here from Arizona, I was in Ogallala at the museum there, and saw a whole bunch of pictures that were all by Bonnie Edwards, and I thought, well, that's pretty darn interesting.
Yep.
She's a wonderful photographer. And then as we were surveying the land to build a house, it came up that she's the county
surveyor. Yeah.
And so I thought, well, that's got to be an interesting coincidence. So I asked her when we were talking about the surveying, and she said, yeah. And so we...
Being the humble person that she is, yes.
And she offered all her bird knowledge and told me about some of the things that they were going to be doing. And as a lifelong bird watcher, I was hooked.
My next question was going to be, were you into birding before this?
So. I started in third grade. I give all credit to Mrs. Larson, who the theme for the year in third grade was birds. So we would do research on birds. We would write papers on birds. We would do math about birds. And she got me hooked. And so I've been doing it now for about 53 years.
Very nice. And have you traveled other places? Like, I know some of the serious birders travel the world.
I haven't had the opportunity to go too far outside North America.
Okay.
But I have traveled across the country and birded in almost all the states.
Very cool. Where's the furthest you've gone, Bonnie, to go look at a bird?
Florida would be the farthest.
Okay. Every now and then I'll send her an email. Like one day I had spotted an Arctic, an owl here. And the next thing I know, she's out running around the country going, where'd you see it? Where'd you see it?
And then she shares that with a small group that we have in a text thread.
Yep. And everybody's out looking for it. When I first saw this particular owl, it was sitting on top of the lights at exit 179. Because that's close proximity to a couple small wetlands in there. And that was his hunting perch. He was sitting up there watching that. So let's talk about the Tout Bird Club. Bonnie, how did it get its name? When did it start?
Okay, well, Wilson Tout was the guy who started it. He started the club here in North Platte in 1934, and he was a high school principal, but he had been interested in birds all of his life,
right,
and actually was a charter member of the Nebraska Ornithologist Union, and that group started in 1899. So this year is the 125th anniversary of Nebraska Ornithologist Group.
And where's the party for that one?
That one's going to be in Lincoln. It's going to be May 3rd through the 5th, and it's going to be an extra special one. There's going to be some workshops. A friend and I are doing a photography workshop before it begins on photography for birds. And then it had kind of died out, and then T.J. Walker, that used to be here in North Platte with Game
and
Parks.
He's a biologist with the Game and Parks.
Yeah, so he got it kind of restarted in 2007. Then he moved to Lincoln for a job there. So it kind of had died out a little bit, and then Julie Geiser and Jim Peterson and I kind of got it restarted about 3 years ago.
And I've been to a couple meetings. You guys look like you're having a growing group, and it's doing well.
Yes, you were one of our speakers.
I did. Matter of fact, I was talking with a friend of mine the other day about that, who also is into crows, and I was telling him about that was my presentation in the crows. I'm in the process of trying to set up to maybe trap a crow and train it, like other people, you know, do falconry or whatever. And I've already got its name. As soon as I can figure out how to tell a male from a female crow, if it's a male crow, his name's going to be Odin.
Okay.
So anyway, how many members are in the club right now?
We have an email list of probably about 60 people.
And I know you get a pretty good turnout at your meetings.
Our last one we had, I think there was 18 people there. Usually 15 to 20.
And what all does the Tout Bird Club have to offer?
I'd posit that it's a great place if you want to start learning about birds.
Yeah.
We offer a lot of information. There's a wide range of birders there, from people like me who've been doing it for decades and people who've just started learning about birds and the fascination with them. And so we share a lot of information, personal knowledge, locations, hot spots, we call them, where you can go and look for birds. There's even a GroupMe group of us that talk about birds across the state and reporting of rare birds and things like that. And so it expands, Tout Club expands a little bit outside into the rest of the state with other people. But there's a lot of sharing that goes on in the meetings.
I noticed that when I went and did the presentation. I'm not a member of the club, but I went there and did a presentation for them. And it was the type of environment I really like to see. Like you said, everybody sharing information. Doesn't make any difference what your level of experience or involvement has been in the past. You're welcomed. Seemed like a really good group.
It is. It's a great place for education and encouragement. If you're not quite sure what the best binoculars are, or if you know what kind of camera you might want to use, now, there's someone there that will have an answer for you that will probably be satisfying.
And then there are people that have camera and lenses that weigh more than she does.
That's right. No names mentioned.
No names mentioned. I know you guys do some road trips and look for birds, and that goes, you know, in Lincoln County and beyond, too. Is that correct?
We've done a couple of field trips, not probably as many as we want. Sometimes it's a last-minute thing with only three or four of us going because you never know where the birds might be.
Right.
We did one at Sutherland. That was last year, I think. We went around the lake in a few areas. We've taken a trip up to Ogallala to see the eagles. And then just do things around here, Buffalo Bill's Ranch, Lake Maloney.
And the reservoirs are a good spot to look. I live by Lake Maloney, and I remember some years back, my boys were still in elementary school there at the lake school, and one of the parents had come in that lived on the west side of the lake, and she said they were late because the ice was just breaking up, and there were 27 bald eagles sitting on the ice eating the shad that had winter killed. So it was an impromptu field trip. School emptied. Everybody went to go see eagles, which is great. I've had eagles fly across my place and had to gain elevation to get over the house. That's how low they were coming off the lake.
At the end of February at Lake McConaughey, it was a similar situation. I've never seen that many bald eagles in one place in my life. And I've gone to Alaska to look at birds.
Oh, my. So. You've been up on the Kenai in that area?
Not quite that far, but
okay.
Southeastern Alaska.
Very good. That's where my town is. There is a Wyndham, Alaska there that was founded by one of my ancestors.
Wonderful.
So, old cannery town, and I think right now it's mainly just lumber and stuff left standing. I don't think there's much of a town there at all. What kind of projects do you guys have going?
Well, we have a feeding station out behind the visitor center on Halligan Drive.
Okay.
So
that's a new one I hadn't heard about.
Yeah,
I knew
so we have a couple of feeders. It's kind of a nice place to go back. It's kind of back behind in the trees.
Right.
And we've had one out at Memorial Garden, out at the State Farm Experiment Station.
And I knew that one.
Yes. And then this fall, we're going to try a new one out by the fisheries. Across from Game and Parks.
Oh, okay.
Game and Parks have a couple of feeders back behind their office also.
Any place you have water is generally a good place to get birds,
because
right. That's one of the things they need, like other animals.
And I can't take any credit for this, but the other Tout members volunteer their time to fill the feeders, maintain them, make sure there's water, and if there's a bird bath or something like that. So it's another opportunity if you're into volunteering for conservation efforts. That's something else you can get out of the Tout Bird Club.
What about in wintertime? How critical is, if you want to help birds, do you make feeding stations? I've heard both ways that, yeah, you do, no, you don't, because if you get a feeding station started and then for some reason can't fill it, then the birds are kind of on their own and may not know what to do. What are you guys' opinion?
Well, for backyard birding, which a lot of people like to do during the winter, I think it's fine. Yep. Black oil, sunflower seeds, I think they can scrounge around and find other things if you have a weekend or a week that you don't feed them. And I've heard that water is the most important thing to try to keep water out for them.
Particularly in freezing weather, open water, right. So they can get to it.
So a heated bird bath is what I have at my house.
Right.
You'd be surprised if you get a mix of seeds, what kind of mix of birds will show up to feed on them. It's pretty fun to look in your backyard and see a variety of birds.
How did you get from Arizona to Sutherland?
My late wife's family is from Sutherland.
Okay.
So we moved up back to her home.
Very good. Very good. Do you have children still at home? Or?
No. They're all away. They're all adults doing their thing. My youngest is studying wildlife biology at the University of Wyoming right now.
Hence the jacket, I assume.
Well, and as an alumni myself.
Okay.
Is in his ornithology class right now.
Oh, cool.
It is wonderful to have a young man in your life who loves birds as much as you do. There's never a time we don't have anything to talk about on the phone.
I got into non-game birding late. I mean, I've always been a hunter, so, you know, if it had a season on it, I was after it, I could identify it. I knew all about it. But just got in later with it, mainly through Julie Geyser. And then I met Bonnie and everything else. And it is a lot of fun. And I know a lot of people that have feeding stations like right outside their breakfast nook window and that type of thing. I've got a picture, a friend of mine, we're sitting there at his, where he and his wife do breakfast and coffee. And 3 feet away out the window was a feeder, and it was just, there must have been 10 goldfinches on it that day. So that had to become an article. So what else can you tell us about the Taup Bird Club? How would people get involved with you if they have us so interested?
Well, they could contact any of us. Most everyone would know Julie, of course.
Yes.
They could get my phone number, Bruce's phone number, Julie's from you, I'm sure.
For me, or just call the Game and Parks office out here, and they'll get a message to Julie.
Right.
She travels a lot, so it's hard sometimes to catch up with her. Do you have regular meetings, like monthly or quarterly or whatever?
Monthly, first Monday of the month, October through April.
Okay.
Summertime, we're all out doing our outdoor activities, and it's a little harder to have people meet, but it's at the college. North Campus, 6 p.m., open to anyone that would like to attend. We often have guest speakers, and this last month we had Dr. Dave Bash from the Crane Trust,
right,
who talked to us about the work that they do studying sandhill cranes, whooping cranes, and other animals as well. So you'll get an education. You'll have a good time.
Very good. What is the most exotic bird you've ever run into? Bonnie, I'll go with you first.
Okay, so the best one here in Lincoln County would have been probably Lewis's woodpecker.
Okay.
There's only been one sighting of that, and that was near Sutherland.
Name from Meriwether Lewis, yes.
Saw it hanging on a power pole. Didn't even know. That was before I really started birding. And Williamson's sapsucker, too. That was out at State Farm. T.J. Walker had told me that would be a good place to look for a yellow-bellied sapsucker. And so this sapsucker had yellow belly, and I texted him and told him, hey, I got it. And then I started looking in my bird book. It's like, oh, I think I have something else. And people came from all over. Even, like, it's when you're a real birder, you want to build up your life list of birds that you see. So this was a good state bird. People came from all over the state.
I did a similar thing one time. I was off on a hunt, and I came, it was a cedar tree that just had this big ball of sticks in it. And you could tell it had been made by a nest. It wasn't big enough to be an eagle nest or anything like that. So I took a picture of it and I sent it to TJ, and about 20 minutes later I got back a note. He said, "That's a magpie that did that." So I get to learn too. What about you, Bruce?
Well, it's interesting. Coming from originally Wyoming and then Arizona, I would see a lot of ravens.
Right.
When I came here, I would see a lot of crows. But when I saw a raven, it was like, oh, there's just a raven. Turns out ravens are not that common this far east.
Right.
So when I saw one the other day and realized, oh, might be a rare bird for the location, and
he
I posted
he should have been
it.
At my presentation because we talked about crows and ravens.
So not the most glamorous bird in the world, but it's kind of exciting when a bird like that you're used to seeing, you find a place where it's not supposed to be.
Crows are one of the smartest birds there is.
Corvid family.
The New Caledonian crow in particular, they've done a lot of study on it. It will make its own tools to dig bugs from under the bark and stuff like that. And when they do experiments with them, when the biologists work with them, they can figure out very elaborate puzzles to get things done. So, very cool. My oddball bird that I spotted one time was a harlequin duck. And it had to have been blown off course somewhere to be here, because that's generally the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
So anything else we can let people know about the club or what you guys do?
Well, did we say when our next meeting was?
Nope. He said the first Monday.
Okay.
And it will be the first Monday in April.
Right. So that's April 1st. And Julie Geiser is going to be talking about prairie chickens. And
good time for that.
Yes. So she is down on the Incorp property this morning looking for a place to put the Game and Parks blind. And she's going to be talking about that. And Game and Parks also has a sandhill crane blind north of Hershey. So she's going to be talking about both of those. And
well, don't they have one out at Buffalo Bill's Ranch too?
They don't have that.
Not a permanent
anymore.
One?
The city and the visitor center, though, got a watchable wildlife grant.
Okay.
And built two blinds up by across the road west of Cody Park.
Okay.
Two free blinds.
Very good.
First come, first serve.
Some people that have not seen cranes, that's an amazing thing to do, particularly if you can get within sight of a roost and then watch them leave in the morning. It's just awesome. I tell people there's only one place I've ever been that's noisier, and that's the deck of an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, so there's probably about 200 cranes that have been roosting there by Cody Park.
Very good.
In front of the blinds.
Very good. Anything else? We're about out of time this morning, unfortunately. But I will have you guys back again.
Well, May is Nebraska Migratory Bird Month. So there'll be a lot of activities going on. We'll have a special bird hike during May sometime.
Which is a great time for kids. A lot of adults are there, and bring your kids. They'll get an education. It's just a really good time to be out someplace local to be able to take a look at the birds and learn a little bit about them.
And we have an abundance of the bird along with other wildlife here. We've got so many different types of topography that we get a lot of different types of birds, which for this type of activity is
And perfect. Nebraska sits right on the border, when North Platte sits pretty much on the border of what's considered the eastern region and the western region for birds.
Right.
And so
the Central Flyway.
And the Central Flyway. So we get a mixture of both eastern and western birds here. So we're sitting right in a cornucopia of birds.
Very good. Jack spell cornucopia.
C-O-P-I-A,
right?
That's right.
Okay. How much time we got left, Jack?
It's about 8:54 right now. I'll probably take a 2-minute break here and there somewhere and then wrap up the show.
Let's take a break.
All right, we'll be back here shortly on Outdoor Connection.
Welcome back, everybody. We're wrapping up this morning of the Outdoor Connection. We have Bonnie Edwards and Bruce White. We're talking about birds, the Tout Bird Club. And you mentioned off air, we were talking about you got something called the Bird Bowl coming up. What's that one?
The Nebraska Birding Bowl is a competition for bird watchers for the entire month of May. It's broken down into four categories. You've got your fledgling flock, which is a children's activity, backyard birder, which is more of a beginning birder, the dabbling birder is the medium, and then there is the competitive birder, where you have to see how many birds, Bonnie, 150?
I think it's a minimum of 150.
Right, 150.
Different species of birds. You keep your tallies for your group, and you submit them to the Nebraska Birding Bowl. And who knows what kind of prizes you might win.
Although, when you complete your respective category, your name goes into a hat, so to speak. And
yep.
Very cool.
And if you're interested in that, you can just Google Nebraska Birding Bowl, and you'll find information.
Very good. Thank you both for coming in this morning, and we're glad you got dug out.
Yes. So, thank you, Rick.
That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.